step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 541. I am Lisa Sheps, and I am joined today by co-host extraordinaire Nicole Shiro.
Hello!
You are listening to us on KOOP, HD1, HD3, Hornsby. This show, as all the shows do, stream live at KOOP.org. You better not leave.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
My family always joked about
it. Is Wednesday. It's someday. It is November 6th, 2019. On the show today, we have Melange Theater Company and their show Saint Somebody. And then later on, we'll be talking to Reppy from Cobalt Club and that show Truth and Trauma. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, Texas, New York City, New York, Chicago, Illinois, Cleveland, Ohio, and Points East. Stick with us.
In your ears here.
You're gonna be loved. You're gonna be bounced.
Okay, bringing it out at the key change.
Yeah, well,
key change.
Isn't that how you're supposed to
that
roll?
Adds a lot of excitement.
Key change.
Nicole Shiro, you're back. I'm back.
Well, we're both back because I was gone. You were gone.
I was not here last week, though.
We were.
Welcome back to us.
We're us together again.
It's good to see you. I'm checking in with you.
It's good to see you. I am here.
Okay. Well, you're off on an adventure tomorrow, are you not?
I am. I'm heading to the city.
What city? Is that Dallas?
No.
Oh, wait. Is it Oklahoma City?
New York City.
New York City.
I'm going to see some shows.
What are you going to go see?
I'm going to go see Hadestown.
Hadestown.
And then I'm going to see...
You going to say hello to our friend Patrick?
I may not.
Okay.
I'm supposed to see Stuart, too.
Stuart Moulton.
Yes.
And Nick Mayo, hopefully. And
you know, stop ghosting me. I sent you a text today saying that.
Nick Mayo, we know you listen
we
to the show.
We know you listen to the show. It's Nick Westrate's birthday today, too.
Nick Westrate.
So, hello. Happy birthday.
Nick Third.
But then I'm going to see the Rockettes with my mom. And then I'm going to see the Tina Turner musical. And then I'm going to see Little Shop of Horrors.
Let me ask you a question. What's love got to do with it?
I don't know, but I can't stop telling people you're simply the best.
You're
better
the
than
best.
All the rest.
So let's.
There's songs that I could keep in my head. Tina's got a good repertoire.
Me too. Let's introduce the folks that are here with us.
Yes, we have a good group of folks.
We have Reppy. Hi, Reppy.
Hey there.
Glad to have you on the air.
Thank you so much.
We have Aaron Una Olson. Hi, Aaron.
Hi.
Hi, Christy Moore. Welcome back.
Howdy. Thank you.
And Rita Anderson, first time here, which is amazingly surprising to me.
Yes, my first time here, a playwright and producer.
Is it really your first time here?
My first time here, yes.
Yeah. There you go.
I thought you've been on before.
Do I get a prize?
You do.
You do.
You're going to get...
Hold on. We're late on the confetti and the bells and whistles.
It's very simple, Rita. You are now on my Christmas cookie list.
All right.
There are no Christmas cookies.
There are no cookies, but you're on the list.
It's just a list.
It's good to be on the list.
Little piece of music I played, you probably didn't hear it.
What was that little ditty?
It was from a little show called Baby.
I know, and I know why you're playing. This is so exciting.
Because Tony Winner, Alice Ripley...
You know how I love me some Alice Ripley.
Is going to do a site-specific production in a loft in Manhattan.
I know, and it's only like 2 weeks. I was like, site-specific Baby? And then I was like, Alice Ripley? Loft, it just kept getting curiouser as the sentence, and it's only like 2 weeks.
It's December 6th through December 14th.
See, yeah.
Some
loft in Manhattan, but I'm all in on that if I was there at that time.
Yeah, so it's, what a get for these people that are doing it. But when you look at the rest
of
the cast,
it's
a lot of
names.
Maybe
she lives in the loft and comes out of a room.
That's true. Which is, oh, what are you doing here? Baby, baby, baby. So everybody will know Alice Ripley, for your favorite show.
Sideshow, but Sideshow, also for the Next to Normal.
She won a Tony for Next to Normal. I don't think she won. They didn't win a Tony for
Sideshow. She was also in the Sunset Boulevard when Betty Buckley was in it. Wow. She was also, she was also Janet in that great Rocky Horror revival that
I don't think you can say great and Rocky Horror show in the same sentence.
Well, I'm sorry, but you didn't see this production. Yeah. It was epically phenomenal.
Not one of my favorite shows in general. So I'd probably go in with a bad attitude.
Yeah, but you'd have to come out with a good one with this.
So
cast.
Did anybody see Little Mermaid live?
No, I have it recorded because I really only want to fast forward for like two things.
Yeah, well, I had no desire
and
to
I don't
see
know
it.
If I still Anybody? Am going to do that.
Nope.
No, I had my mother texting with a lot of commentary.
Would you hit? Okay. Other people want to talk now.
I'm just going to talk all
okay.
day.
Did, would you have wanted to see it, Christy?
Actually, it is recorded.
Okay.
See?
I didn't record it. Actually, the only thing I would want to do to record it to see is see Shaggy. But I would like
you
to
see Queen Latifah.
I
was like,
you don't
want to
see.
I saw her. She's on the YouTubes. I've already seen it, and I was
And I wanted to see the John Stamos because he's in it for like a second too. But he made me laugh with his chef.
So on the Variety review called it a handmade, quirky, heavy tone in this production. Didn't like Queen Latifah, as Ursula seemed to fall behind the beat and generally lacked the risky abandon of the part. They didn't have a lot of good things to say about it.
It's an odd concept. The whole thing, what they did, is just odd. And I just don't understand how your brain works that way.
I didn't realize until I read this that I thought that was an all new production that had live action and animation. But no, they're just pulling from the animated show.
They literally
just played
the
movie and then they go out live to songs, which I'm like,
yeah, they literally played the film and they literally have like a screening with people in a theater watching the film.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh,
and they would
Lord.
Cut here and there to like screenshots of the audience clapping and then the film going back on because apparently they had to stop the film for commercial breaks too, which again is odd as an audience member.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah.
And then they had a stage and then they would literally do the numbers.
They've literally done a lot.
Literally.
Literally.
Literally. And then they would do the numbers live. It was, but that, who decided this was a good idea? I don't know.
Well, this was ABC's first foray into this genre.
Well, they were smoking something good in the office when they came
something.
Up with this one.
So I may go back and look at it on the tubes, but it's certainly not anything. I don't like the show to begin with. I mean, the show itself. Yeah. I only like the song Kiss the Girl.
I was like, there's it's a so few, cute. There's like, I like some of the, I like the numbers in
and
it.
I like the wheelies.
Yeah. Oh, the
that
wee-
most productions
yeah.
use.
Yeah.
Although the two, I don't know what their character names are, the people that usually have the wheelies, the Ursula's people, the weasels or whatever they are, they're puppets, on this, they looked pretty cool.
Listen, I want to get mad at the Little Mermaid musical, but I can't because it gave us Norm Lewis.
I believe Norm Lewis was around before.
No, Norm Lewis got his like whole big ba-doom break and stuff by playing King Titan.
Norm Lewis has been forever.
I know, but it was when the whole like blow up of people discovering Norm Lewis were anomalies that watch people rise.
Christy is nodding her head, so I've thought Norm Lewis predates that show. But so who's ever heard of the EGOT?
Yeah,
yes,
I have. Hello.
Yeah. Grammy, harder to get now.
Oscar and Tony, yeah.
Harder to get now because they've just gotten rid of, and I think I'm for this decision. So they have eliminated the outstanding musical performance in the daytime program category. And what was happening was when these Broadway shows would come on and they would do things during the Today Show, they would get an Emmy for it. And it was questionable
it
at the time about
sense.
Whether it was the show or the performers. But this is how Ben Platt, what's her name from The Color Purple?
Cynthia
Erivo. Other people are on there. And Cynthia Erivo, depending on how she does with this film that comes up, she's just missing an Oscar.
I know.
But that's how they got the Emmy part of their EGOT. So,
Let's think about it. Liza had to work for that Emmy. She didn't get it
exactly.
that way. So, like, it's apples and it's really not kind of fair.
I am agreeing. You and I agree.
I know. Rare.
So,
but sometimes happens.
Other people that are in this, other than Ben Platt and Cynthia Erivo, my favorite person, Katrina Link. and Ariel Satchel from the band's visit. Rachel Bay Jones from they're also on their way. They're all of those people are an Oscar away from an EGOT.
Yeah, see, that doesn't seem right.
Which is probably a long way away. I mean, all those people are awesome, but
I don't know. I think
pretty stiff competition.
I think Ben Platt deserves an Oscar for his the a cappella thing. One of my favorite movies. They're terrible, and I love them. Anyway, never mind.
Oh, you're Pitch Perfect.
Pitch Perfect. Yes, thank you. Oh God, it's getting old. Is not fun. Anyway, I found that interesting.
I find it interesting too.
I'm in favor. There was a review of the Big Apple Circus. Has anybody seen the Big Apple Circus?
Yeah,
I've never seen them.
You know what's fun about it? It really is in this giant big top.
Yep.
Tent.
Well, they disappeared. They closed down for a while. They were bought by another company, and they have come back. I think they've only been back for a couple of years. And there was a review by Alexis Siliski of the New York Times. And she says it feels different than it did before, but still pretty good. And they had they have animals and aerial works and things like that. But they have the Savitsky cats, and I liked with it because they were wearing bow ties and expressions of withering disdain. I'm going to throw that out to Patty Neptune.
Do cats have any other expressions?
I was just about to say, she really was enthralled by these cats to write something epically.
So this is something I found interesting, and I'll just take this directly from the review that she wrote. Quote, one of the performers, Rafael Fiera, was born with congenital arthrogyroposis. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that. He uses a wheelchair, which doesn't prevent him, now listen to this, balancing atop his partner's head and arcing his lower body into elegant contortions.
Wow.
In a wheelchair. I mean, that says a lot about him. It also says a lot about his partner.
Yes.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, Big Apple Circus. It's playing through February 2nd at Damrosch Park in Lincoln Center. BigAppleCircus.com.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's a commercial I just wrote.
Yeah, I was like, say, did you just make it up?
Mm-hmm.
They do, the Big Apple Circus will also do a lot of things where they bring in celebrity guests to come in and do certain numbers or be a guest ringleader for the night. So they switch it up all the time, which makes it like.
Yeah, there was a documentary about the Big Apple Circus. And basically, it was a documentary about circus life, but they used the Big Apple Circus. And it's fascinating to get a peek inside this world because it is indeed a whole
different world. Mm-hmm.
I lived it for a couple of days when in the 80s, actually 1980, so 80, we played the New York State Fair, and I decided to stay with our stage and slept at the fair for a week and hung out with the carnies after the fair closed. And it was a different world. It was very, very different and amazingly fun. That's the end of that story.
Boom, boom.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, okay. I'm not going to announce this next thing we're going to talk about. I'm going to let somebody else do it.
Hey, it's Sarah Bareilles, and I am so excited to be telling you that I am going to use my passport in the new year because I am coming to the West End, my West End debut, to play Jenna in Waitress the Musical. And to make this announcement even sweeter, I am bringing one of my very best friends in the entire world, Mr. Gavin Creel, who you would know from the original cast of Book of Mormon in the West End. He's going to play opposite me as Dr. Pometer. So we are so excited to come and join you across the pond. We will be in the show for 6 weeks only, starting January 27th. So get your tickets now and come see us down at the diner.
I'm just in love with Sarah Bareilles. That's why I wanted to let her make that.
I think you just love her. Although you weren't, you didn't like her and Josh doing the Tonys together. And
no, I did.
I thought you did.
No, I didn't. But I didn't like the idea of it before. But I got totally sold when I saw them.
Well,
yes,
it's the Grinch,
I thought they were amazing together. But she is going back into. She's making her West End debut. Talk about a little Renaissance woman and somebody who should deserve an EGOT would be Sarah Bareilles.
Mm-hmm. I guess.
Oh my God.
I mean, I'm not against it, but I could put some other people up higher.
Okay. All right.
And Al Roker went back into it in the New York production.
He did.
And when Catherine McPhee went too. But Al Roker went back into the New York production.
Yes, he did. Yes,
he
did.
I'm more excited about him than Catherine McPhee going back into it.
I'm a fan of Catherine McPhee. There
not
are people that.
A fan.
Speaking of Catherine McPhee and Megan Hilty, there is. There was some, God, what did I hear just recently about people that wanted to get Smash back?
Oh my gosh, I'm speaking.
And there's going to be a Smash, I'm sorry, I'm going to let you, there's going to be a Smash podcast. So a rewatch and a podcast to go along with the rewatch.
Yes, and it's so funny because remember the Leslie Odom Jr. was on that also. And
yes, he
has a brand new album that came out that is incredible. I watched him doing press all week and I'm like, OMG.
Well, he's got a little
bit of talent. His tour doesn't come near here though. Boo, Leslie, come to Texas. But he was talking about Smash and they were trying to elude and get him. And he's like, well, we'd all do
anybody watch Smash? Anybody like or hate Smash? No, you should have. So here's an article I like. This is also out of the across the pond. The National Theater is phasing out the use of the phrase, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about non-gendering things and how that's a really wonderful thing. We've stopped using it at our theater. In my job as doing corporate events where there's a lot, I do a lot of voiceovers. I try very hard not to say it doing those voiceovers for corporate events.
Did they say what they're going to use?
Yes. Where is it?
It's, hey, people.
Welcome to the National Theater. You don't have to use
something. Do you mean me?
Yeah.
Do you mean me?
Yeah, I do.
No, yeah. I mean, so, that's a pretty way to solve all that.
Yeah, just welcome to the National Theater. Yeah, here it is. I think that's great, and I think we need to start doing that more and more. And it goes along, and I'll just say, I think we talked about it 2 weeks ago. You may have discussed it last week as well, but about, you know, getting rid of gender in the awards. Mm-hmm. Let's just have an actor category, mm-hmm. folks. But that's not going to happen in the Tonys, Oscars, or Emmys anytime soon.
Never say never.
I didn't say never.
No, you didn't. I know. You were like, anytime soon. That's why I stopped myself. I was like, ah.
Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
Oh,
did
it
you
seems
read this?
A little cursed these days.
Yes.
It's slowly slumping.
Well, it's surprising and yet not.
Or it's lost its magic.
It's cursed. But ticket sales have gone down by 50%.
Whoa.
And
It went from like a big...
couldn't get a ticket to it.
Mm-hmm.
Did somebody leave it? That was...
No, they didn't have big names involved with it. It's just... It's a hard sell. It's 6 hours of play.
Yeah, it's part
done over two things. You have, in order to see the whole thing, you have to buy two tickets at $100 and some odd a pop. Right. It's an investment.
It is. It's not the only play that's two parts though on Broadway currently, which is I find fascinating that there's more than one.
Well, and I think the first one I remember was Nicholas Nickleby back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. I had forgotten about that.
The bigger thing about this is that this Harry Potter and the Cursed Child is the highest cost to produce of any straight play at $35 million.
Yeah.
So it's, I just found that very
interesting. It's a hard pill to swallow with
I think what's happening with the Harry Potter is brand saturation. I think it's been at the top for so long that that's what's happening. I think they probably capitalized and thought that this is going to be...
Yeah, but Winnie the Pooh's still around. I mean, there's certain... Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, they're practically the same.
I'm just saying those magical stories you grew up with. Poppins is still selling Poppins. Peter is still P.L. Travers.
I don't want to say canon, but pop culturally, sure, those have had
but
generations.
But Harry Potter really is pop culture now than it used to be.
It is, but those
so
have been around
weird.
For generations and generations. What I'm saying, we don't have
Harry Potter's a relatively new,
Yeah, but I don't think it's going anywhere. I think it's made.
I'd be interested to see how the London. I didn't do my homework to find out how the London production
is still going
doing.
Strong.
Okay. I was just listening to a podcast this morning put out by American Theater Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't like that podcast.
Really?
Yeah, they're too... I don't know. I have a problem with those two.
Well, they were talking about the Harry Potter play, mm-hmm. and she had a very strong opinion that it was a terrible production.
Those two are... I should like them because much like me and my co-host here, they're very opinionated.
I was like, they're very opinionated, deep, and I'm going to forget his name. It'll come to me here in a minute.
Go ahead.
But yeah, no. That's why I thought you'd like it because they are very opinionated like us and not afraid to say it.
Yeah,
no,
I like
they're
that.
Not. Well, they come from a different generation than I lived.
Yeah,
they're
true.
Clearly millennials.
Younger,
And the style is not one that I'm, I listen to Three on the Isle, which is an American theater wing, which with Elizabeth Vincentelli, and it's people my age. So It could be a generational thing.
No, this is what I was listening to. Three on the Isle.
Oh, okay. That's different.
Oh, sorry. Did I say Maggie's? I meant American Theater Wing. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. Three on the Isle.
I'm
yeah.
like American.
So if you say she was very opinionated, that would be Elizabeth Vincent Kelly.
Yes. Yes. She was very opinionated. She could not
why you
believe
to me
it
funny
was.
When I
mean,
I
this,
said
so she gave it such a bad review.
She's funny because she constantly disagrees with the two other people.
It's true.
Yeah. No, I do listen to that. I thought you were talking about. There's another one. I forgot the name.
The American Theater Wing. Yeah. The American Theater Magazine. You are right, and it will come out. It comes out in e-blast form on Wednesdays too. So that's it made sense that could
yeah no
have been
and
it.
I know which podcast you're talking about and I agree. I don't like it. I can't deal
Good.
With it.
Thank you.
I can't deal with that.
So there was an off-Broadway opening called Getting Intimate at Dr. I'm sorry. It's called Dr. Ride's American Beach House. It's a critic's pick by Jesse Green, and I thought it was interesting. It's written by Liza Birkenmeyer. And it's about friends that find themselves challenged by the first American woman in space. And it seems very interesting.
You know how you and I both love space.
We do. But it took me a while to get to the point of it. But let me, so it happens in 1983. I'll just read this from the review. Birkenmeyer drops us into a St. Louis roof on a hot day in June 1983 when nothing seems to be happening. Almost incidentally, we learn that Harriet, played by Kristen Say, and Matilda, Erin Markey, are there for the weekly meeting of the Two Serious Ladies Book Club, which they apparently named for the Jane Bowles novel and is pretty much defunct. But it happens on the day that Sally Ride, and then there's it deals with women's sexuality and how that all works. Are you familiar with the piece? Rita,
no.
You're nodding.
Different Stages is doing another one of my plays in February, Gliders, which is about the Apollo moon landing in 1969.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. And very much sexuality and three generations of women.
It's a very interesting read, and it is playing. I guess I should say where it's playing for those of us going to New York tomorrow.
I tried to get Seared in. I couldn't get a ticket, not even house seats.
Try to get what?
Seared, Teresa Rybeck's new play with my man, what's his name? Oh, my God, Raul Esparza that I'm obsessed with.
Okay. Well, let's continue talking about this. Ars Nova is the producing organization. Folks will remember Ars Nova. They produced Sasha, Nicole, Sasha, and Pierre, and the Great Comet of 1519.
It's where they didn't write letters
they
in
wrote
19th
letters.
Century Russia.
Okay. We just have a couple more minutes. Encores is doing Evita. We talked about this a while ago. Evita is playing by two people.
Which Raul was in? Just saying.
Did you happen to see there's a video of a rehearsal footage of the little promo video that Playbill did?
I actually did. It was so funny. I was afraid to watch that rehearsal footage and the Chorus Line rehearsal footage last week because they changed the choreography. And I was like, oh no. Mm-hmm. They were both so good. No, the signature did right with this choreography I saw. You're shaking your head. Yeah, no. Yes, and I actually enjoyed it. Did you enjoy it? Not like I enjoyed the Chorus Line, but I enjoyed it.
Evita is played by two women, and evidently this was Hal Prince's original vision. I don't know why he didn't do it. But Eva, ages 15 through 20, is played by Maya Rafico, I'm sure I mispronounced that, and from 20 to 33, which is when she passed, Soleil Pfeiffer. And to me, when I look at this video, the old one looks younger than the new one.
That I agree with you. I thought, but I was like, oh, yeah. I have them backwards.
Yeah. And then Jason Gauté plays Shay, and he just looks charming. 3 years old, but charming.
His name is Jason Gauté. That is a fun name
to say.
That's
what I just said.
I'm saying it is a fun name to say. How could he not be charming?
And this is directed by a young woman named Sammy Knoll, who's also looks 12. But his plane opens a week from today on November 13th.
I've seen the show done before with Evita split cast, and I actually think it makes a lot more sense. When you see it, it's like, oh, bing, bing, bing,
one
bing.
Of the high schools here did it and split in three pieces.
I was about to say, you saw it with three, right? Mm-hmm. It was one of the high schools. Okay.
And then finally, this is something I don't know how I missed. So, you know, I lived in Washington Heights when I lived in New York.
Yes.
And evidently in 1992, there was a riot in Washington Heights.
Yes.
In my neighborhood when I lived there.
Were you asleep that night?
I must have. I didn't even know. But there's a site-specific show called City of Refuge. It's going to talk about the night that Washington Heights erupted into protest. Let me just read this. It's a new site-specific play, evokes the Washington Heights riot through a story of a local priest who barricades himself and a few parishioners inside his soon-to-be-shuttered church. As the violence outside continues, more and more people seek shelter, but can the turmoil be shut out completely? So this is being done in a church. As I said, it's site-specific. Guess where the church is?
Washington is it in your part?
In the microphone, please.
Washington Heights?
No, it's not in Washington Heights, and that just seems strange to me.
That it's site-specific?
No, that it's not in Washington. So it's on 86th Street.
The church got closed, apparently.
Yeah, so. Evidently. Anyway, so that's it. I'm surprised that I did not know about that riot. That's the part that's why I wanted to talk about it, because it happened in my hood. So we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back and talk to Melange Theater Company, which is just really, really fun to say.
It is.
and we'll go away listening to one of the more fun songs from Waitress.
Okay.
Let's make a new one, Mama. What do you say?
It's in the music industry. Tickets and information at simsfoundation.org.
Thank you, Christy Moore, for that excellent reading of that underwriting announcement. Does anybody listen to, speaking of podcasts, I'm just going to take a quick little tangent over here. Does anybody listen to Pod Save America or any of the Crooked Media podcasts?
I'm not a podcast person.
But you're telling us we should. But what do you like there?
Oh, I like them all. Oh, okay. But their ads, which I do fast forward through because they're long and lengthy, but they have a lot of fun with the ads that they do.
I'll have to check that out.
They make fun of them as they are doing them. And it's when you got a little slipped up with bands versus brands, that made me think we should start doing that here and having fun with the underwriting announcements. I don't think the management of this radio station would appreciate it, but we could have fun.
We need to do the live talk radio we've talked about. I watched a visual talk radio show recently on PBS again and realized how much fun that is. And you and I have talked about that and haven't done it.
Okay. Well, let's do this just to get it over with. Not to get it over with, just to do it now before 1:30, before we get into to talk to our guest. Rita, since you've not been on this show before, could you please give me a number between 2 and 52?
27.
Let's see what that is.
This is Morgan River Reporter, New York Bureau, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air, KOOP Hornsby, Austin.
Morgan Roven Reporter, who sounds probably like a little adult right
Morgan
now.
Morgan is like a little lady now at 13, but that was her. That was after Matilda, and she reviewed it Matilda, was. I think.
All right. So let's introduce the folks from Melange Theater Company and their show Saint Somebody, written by Rita Anderson. And here for the show is Rita Anderson. Hi, Rita.
Hi.
And the director is Christy Moore. Hi, Christy.
Howdy.
And one of the performers, Aaron Una Olson. Rita, tell us about the show. What is it?
I wrote this in grad school, Saint Somebody. It's part of my mission as a playwright is to write more roles for women that reflect a wider diversity of women, because we usually have the ingenue, and then we have like what I call the sexy grandmother.
That's me.
So... So I wrote it, and it went to the Kennedy Center and was nominated for a John Cobell Outstanding Play Award, and it had a stage reading at the Kennedy Center.
Wow, did you go to the Kennedy Center for that stage reading?
I sure did. I have a synopsis if you'd like to hear it.
Well, before you do that, I want to talk more about the Kennedy Center. Did you play the big stage there?
No, it was for Kennedy Center American College Theater Festival, and so it's when I was getting my master's in playwriting, so... we had our award ceremony and other things there. And I've went to the Kennedy Center 3 times in grad school for 6 plays.
That's cool. I played the Kennedy Center back in the day.
Did you really?
Yep. Aaron, you're going to read the...
Synopsis?
Oh, I am.
Yeah, that's why
it's put in front of you.
I'm trying to spread the wealth.
Let's hear. Well, now we're going to hear from Aaron Una Olson, who will tell us about the show.
Should I do it in an Irish accent?
Sure. If you'd like, darling.
We're going to all do everything from this point forward.
Let's all do it.
In an Irish accent.
I'll do my best. When an African-American deserter wanders into the camp of the Irish Brigade near Gettysburg, conflicts intensify. But the soldier carries an old statue that his family calls Saint Somebody, since they don't know her real name. Based on real events at the wheat field, Saint Somebody suggests one solution as to how the brigade of 600 held back the Confederate troops for 3 days when they were outnumbered by the thousands. What the Irish Brigade needed and found was a miracle.
a play about the women and other unsung heroes in the Civil War, Saint Somebody explores a part of history that has not been dramatized. It confronts the brutalities of war, to include behind-the-battlefield issues, and the characters demonstrate love's resilience and the necessity of hope to keep the spirit alive in dire straits.
Excellent.
Yeah, I just want you to keep talking.
Keep talking. How many characters are in this play?
There are six, three male characters, three female characters.
Awesome. And this is a true story.
It is based on a true story, mm-hmm. 3 days, so the play spans it. I think it's really relevant right now because there's a lot of talk in our country about maybe another civil war, as well as a lot of immigration problems. And so the Irish were literally only allowed into the Civil War at the end because they were desperate mm-hmm. for bodies.
But you're not giving yourself enough credit, Rita.
Oh, thank you.
The story that's actually told in the play is an original story. I was like, where's the source material for this story? And she's like, well, I made that part up. And I was like, well, then it's... Anyway.
So it's based on a factual time, but it's fiction.
Yes, none of the characters are real.
Inspired by true story.
The 3 days, yes.
Or just history. The fact that these people were in the Civil War and that what happened at Gettysburg.
Right, and you don't really think of the Irish as being part of the...
No, or of women, and we even have a Buffalo Soldier, although that wasn't technically a term.
I don't know it. I'm imagining a bison in a uniform.
Christy, would you like to feel this?
Sure. That's how black soldiers are referred to.
Oh, really?
But really, okay. Not during the Civil War, after that era, but we've co-opted that phrase for this purpose.
I had not heard that before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was not necessarily a positive
a term of endearment. I wouldn't think so. Okay.
Yeah. So we have a fantastic cast, if
yes,
I can tell you who they are. So
please.
Our Buffalo Soldiers, played by Matrix Kilgore.
Woo-hoo. Oh, heard of him.
And we've got Nate Dunaway, recent Beyond Pain Award winner.
Yes.
And we've got Aaron Black. And we've got Madison Murrah, who's new to town and is lovely. And then we've got Joanna Whitmore. So what
as well as Aaron. Playing Aaron.
Well, yeah, I mean, and Aaron, the person who's here, who's been introduced already.
I was about to say, when you said
that,
Aaron Black, I said, did Aaron just change her name?
No, there's actually, she plays a character named Aaron. We have Aaron Black, who's also in the play. And then my AD is also named
Aaron.
So we have like four
A's, or it doesn't matter when you're talking, but
two E's and two A's.
And Madison's, as well as two Madisons.
Yes, and a Maddie and a Madison, so... If I get a name wrong, I've got half a good chance of getting it right.
I was saying, you might get there.
You have an amazing cast. Mm-hmm. I forgot that you had the young man that won. He won for the Ute. No.
No, he won Best Actor in a Comedy.
In a comedy.
Yeah, but which one?
Nate Dunaway.
Framed
Roger Replicant.
That's right. That's right. I'm thinking of the others.
You just said...
It was a La Fenice production.
Is what?
It was a La Fenice production.
Ah, yes. Yeah. La Fenice. So this piece is happening when? When do you open?
We open Thursday, November 14th. We run for 3 weeks through December 1st at Trinity Street Theater.
Yeah. What was that face for, Christy Moore? You made a face.
It's right around the corner.
It is right around the corner.
And we're in wonderful shape.
Yeah. Does it take place on a battlefield?
Where
venue?
Are we?
Wait, yeah, thank you.
Where are we?
It's in the encampment of the Irish Brigade. There were a lot of regiments at Gettysburg, as you might imagine. When we looked at the battlefield map from the time, it was like, it was so crowded. How did they
not run into each other?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, why, they seemed like they were shooting point blank. But so it takes place in the encampment of the Irish Brigade in several different places, a medical kind of what we're looking at as a triage tent, and the colonel's quarters, and then just other grounds.
And without giving anything away, how are we focusing on the women at this time? Are they?
Go for it.
Well, Dorothea Dix was the first one that put a call out for women, mm-hmm. and so it's also important because women have been in the military forever, just their story isn't told.
Were they in combat at the time?
No,
were they fighting?
They were nurses.
Nurses.
Yeah. Okay. Nurses. Yes.
Yeah, we've got two nun nurses and a civilian, I don't know, civilian not nun nurse.
Civilian not nun.
And in the Irish Brigade, there were actually five units, troops, and we focus on the 69th out of New York City. So that's the specific Irish Brigade that we're, that our six cast right. members are in.
And actually at that time, I mean, the Irish were not looked favorably upon in our country at that time. Correct.
Yeah. Right. And all the way until right after, right around World War One, it was NINA, no Irish need apply, because there was so much prejudice against that.
Well, there was culture. There was a lot of prejudice around that time because they were brought in to work on the railroad along with the Chinese,
yes.
correct?
Yes.
And then, and the first or the second wave of immigration from Eastern Europe and Europe, which is right around the turn of the century, there was like the Irish were lucky enough to be discriminated against twice in two different eras.
Right. And it also kind of dovetails into the Irish potato famine.
Mm-hmm.
So there were. A big plight. So
a lot of people
Irish
running. All of these events you're talking about, I can tell you stories from my family lineage of, that one was in that. Oh, and I found documents of family in the Civil War and from the Irish Regiment and have been exploring that. It's very interesting.
From the 69th?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's why I'm sitting here. I'm like, I think that was it in New York. I have to look back at the paperwork. Mom has the letter, so I have to.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
So I'm presuming this is not a comedy, or at least not a knee-slapping comedy.
No, it is a drama, but it is more than realism. I would have to say there are at least three scenes or so that are kind of in that Irish tradition of, beyond realism. Dream sequences and some kind of eerie magical things.
It's like magical realism.
Otherworldly.
Otherworldly, or as we like to say.
I love using that word. You don't get to use it that often. It's a great word.
Well, that was my sorority name in college.
You know why? Because you're a great catch.
I am an otherworldly creature. So you said again, before we go away, this is the premier production of Melange Theater Company, correct?
Yes, it is.
So when did you start Melange? And this is you are the founder and creative director, director, are you not?
Yes, I'm the founding artistic
director. And I'm speaking to Rita when I say that.
Yes. So we just started, and we are affiliated with ACA. So this
Austin
Creative Alliance, and this is our first production.
Good. Well, mazel tov. We're happy to have you on the scene, and we wish you a long and healthy and prosperous life as a theater company.
Thank you very much.
And also a long and healthy, a 3-week and healthy, prosperous life for this show. So it opens on November 14th. When does it close?
December 1st, Sunday matinee.
December 1st. And where can folks get more information?
Tickets and other information are at our website, www.melangetheater.com, and it's M-E-L-A-N-G-E, and theater is the French, theatre.com.
I would like to call that the correct.
The correct. Way.
I do too.
Well, great. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on the show. We have no backstage at Offstage. Next time you come in, we'll get you backstage and learn all about you.
Great.
Thank you. All right, that was Rita Anderson, Christy Moore, and Aaron Olson of Melange Theater Company's production of Saint Somebody, written by Rita Anderson. Plays November 14th through December 1st at Trinity Street Theater. For more information, melangetheater.com. And we will be right back.
I'm gonna be somebody.
Okay, that was a song called Somebody.
You know,
from a show called Celebration, which I had never heard of before.
I was like, I was loving it. Do you even know who was singing that?
No, I couldn't find any information about the show other than it exists.
I love the selection.
So we're going to talk briefly about, the Beiden Porn. The Beiden Porn. That's a whole another award ceremony. The Beiden Pain Award Ceremony was last Monday night. And I was fortunate enough to, along with Ground Floor Theater, to be nominated for a few. So I went, and I hadn't been in a long, long, long time. And that ceremony has changed quite a bit.
Yeah, let's go back and go.
No, we're going to get there. But I wanted to, I don't, I, we'll get there, I promise.
Okay.
But the ceremony itself, and I'm feeling kind of guilty because I haven't gone because I wasn't nominated. But we as a community should start going, even if we're not nominated, to support others that are. It's a fun evening.
Well, I saw on like Monday, they said there were only a few tickets left. Wasn't it pretty sold out and full to the brim? I think it was.
It was pretty full. But see that, so perhaps it would just keep growing and we end up having to do it at the Long Center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was about to say, I thought it was pretty full and the tickets were hard to get. But, that's exciting.
Yeah. So I do want to share. I was honored to be nominated as best director for Fun Home. And Fun Home took home a lot of awards, including best musical. And I don't credit myself, although I had a part in it, and I don't discount that. But it was just such a magical piece and just put together really well. But I went back. Somebody sent me a copy of my acceptance speech.
But let's stop. You still haven't told people she did win Best Director.
I did. I just said that.
No, you said I was nominated again. You keep saying nominated.
And I won.
Lisa won. Lisa won for Best Director.
So the there was something. Somebody sent me a copy of my acceptance speech. And there was something I said I just thought I should share with other people because it was actually pretty important for our community.
And I need to thank the community of Austin's Theater. We are a vibrant community. We have heart, we have soul. We're producing amazing work. We just need to tell the rest of the city that we exist. Yes!
And that's what I sort of wanted to get across, is like we just really need to make sure that people in the city know that theater's out there outside of the Zach Theater and the other larger theater companies. There's some really incredible, meaningful work being done. Like Melange Theater Company and Saint Somebody.
All of it. I just think theater in general, everybody wants to go music and they stop. We need to be like theater.
My challenge to you folks that are listening is to just let people know that theater exists. And there are small theaters like the Vortex, like Hyde Park Theater, like Ground Floor Theater that are doing some very interesting work. And there are theater companies that don't necessarily have a home, like Melange, like Theater on Block and things like that, that are doing some really important work. So I would challenge you to tell your friends that theater exists. So some of the other winners, the outstanding production of a drama was We Are Proud to Present by Street Corner Arts. Matrix Kilgore was in that, and he said it's the hardest thing he's ever done. And it was supposed to be an amazing piece. I did not get to see it.
Yeah, I didn't get to see it. But the Street Corner Arts has been doing some really great
stuff. They have been doing really wonderful things. Young actor was Jaden Wallace, who played Emmett Till in The Face of Emmett Till for Robert King Productions. The Young Actress Award went to Mariella Denson for Small Allison at Fun Home at Ground Floor Theater. Delonte Keys won several awards.
Delonte. Well, his Rapunzel was kind of epically awesome.
Mm-hmm. But this was also, so he's also in Some Humans Were Harmed in the Making of This Show by En Route Productions and C.B. Goodman. They won several awards.
And then didn't he win for the Best Youth Performance Actor?
He did.
Yeah. And then Leslie Ann won for Tortoise.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. For actress, the two of them.
Featured actor in a musical theater, Zach Crawford.
I know.
Pretty amazing. Amber Quick won for featured actress in a comedy. Featured actress in musical theater was Cody Ross Williams, who played Ursula in The Little Mermaid at Zilker. Lisa LaRotta won for design for The Divine Narcissus. Lighting design went to Chris Kennard for The Little Mermaid. Lowell Bartholomew won not only for best sound design, but for best media design.
It's like media, right?
Jennifer Rose Davis won for best costumes for...
Little Mermaid.
Props, Taylor Travis for Mr. Burns, a post-eclectic play. And as we were discussing ahead of time, I'll just say this, that there's a stage management award, which I think is kind of silly. But that stage manager who won is Jasmine Kurz for Not Every Mountain by the Rude Mechanicals. Lead actor in a drama, Kareem Badir for Heartland. Florinda Bryant for Black Do Crack at Ground Floor Theater. Nate Dunaway for Who Framed Roger Replicant. Eva McQuaid for Lady Macbeth and her pal, Megan.
Yes, and she made me giggle again, looking at her all devious in that little photo. I was like, I love it.
I saw this one, and she did a very good job in it. So, yes, you're right. Leslie Ann Leal. I did not know that person, so that one for
She's
Tortoise and
just
Hare.
Adorable. Yeah.
Tortoise and Hare took away a lot for theater for young audiences.
It's such a, you know, that Alan Robertson writes good stuff, man. It's a fun show.
Direction of a drama, Liz Fisher for We Are Proud to Present.
Love some Liz.
Yeah, Liz Fisher is an amazing
magical
director.
Person here.
Direction of a comedy was Beth Burns for The Rover. And then music direction, of course, Alan Robertson, who
writes amazing musicals.
I will say this: Alan Robertson wrote an original piece for Tilt Performance Group, which played in our theater over the past 2 weeks, and that was just an amazing piece too.
Pandora.
Correct. Pandora, Life Outside the Box. We need to zip through. I just want to talk about the Vortex and the Avante Theater Project. This is the second annual Future X Festival at the Vortex, and this looks very interesting. VortexRep.org. Their signature show is called Moscata, and it is for any woman who has ever been told she's too much. Other performers are Pyrotechnico Teatro.
You mean it's a story of our lives?
It is. There's improv performances from Vida de los Muertos y Primadonas, excuse me, who return. Then the Latino Comedy Project is doing something. Raul Garza has got an original play called My H.E.B. It won a Best of the Frontera Fest. And I need to say that one Patty Neftivin is performing in that piece.
Is she?
Yep. I don't get to go see it, though, because I'm having rehearsal.
Go, Patty, go. I'm giving my shout out.
There are solo performances from Lindsay Beltran, Siri Garudev, and Andre Flores, and even more. So get more information about the Future X Festival at vortexrep.org. I'm going to do an abbreviated Today in Theater History.
What happened today?
I don't know. I got to find the sheet.
I know that's why my doo-doo went a little longer than it was supposed to.
It was here a second ago. There it is.
Today in Theater History. What happened?
Today's the birthday of John Philip Sousa.
Bon anniversaire.
All right. And in 1990...
So is my cousin Molly and Nick Westrate. There you go. See, it's a party.
Okay. This is also the anniversary of your show, Peter Plan.
Peter Plan. Peter Plan.
It opened on this date in 1905. In 1988, there was a revival of Waiting for Godot. I'm just going to call it Godot. I can't.
Who was in that one?
It was directed by Mike Nichols. This is the one with Robin Williams and Steve Martin and F. Murray Abraham.
Brilliant.
And Bill Irwin.
Oh my goodness. That's just.
Yep. This is also the opening of the Four Seasons hit Jersey Boys.
Oh, it's still going.
Yep.
It's on tour too, still.
Yep. And in 2010, on this date, a group of 30 people picketed the Scottsboro Boys.
I remember this.
And oddly enough, most of them hadn't seen it.
But they were picketing it.
Interesting. Well, because they just owned the idea of it, and they said it was racist. Susan Stroman is quoted in the New York Times responding to the show's creators, "We're not celebrating the minstrel tradition, but rather using it to reveal the evils of the system." Duh. Birthdays: Ole Olsen, who I don't know, but I wanted to say that name. Ruth Selwyn.
I was just about to say, could you say that again, please? Because it's fun.
Michael Cerverus.
Oh, he's the other one I love.
Eddie Corbitch, Ethan Hawke, and Patina Miller. Do you watch Madam Secretary?
Yeah, I don't know. I like what they did to her.
She's gone.
She got in trouble. She shouldn't have been doing bad things. Well, she had to.
She's gone.
She had to.
Patina Miller. All right.
Maybe she's got magic to do.
maybe so. reference to Pippin, folks.
She was great in it. Wow.
So we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come right back and talk to Reppy, who is here with us in studio. We will be right back. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
And we are fortunate enough to have Reppy here with us in the studio. She is, I'm going to assume that you're the founder and artistic director of Cobalt Club, Reppy. That's correct. And the star and the writer of the current show that Cobalt is doing called Truth and Trauma.
A love story.
A love story. I keep forgetting that.
That's right. Really important part of it.
Okay. Well, tell us why.
Well, because, here, I'll read you something that one of my former students wrote. Known for her over-the-top, outrageously hilarious, character-driven comedy, Reppy steps out from behind the masks and takes you on a journey through some of her most personal stories, culminating in a wildly entertaining, ultimately triumphant, and inspiring struggle to become and love her true self. So that's kind of, in a nutshell, what the show is about. It's funny and tragic.
We call that Trajani.
Trajani.
What's that called?
Trajani.
Trajani?
I just made that up.
Okay. So tragic and funny?
Tragic and funny.
Yeah, right.
So
well, that works.
So yeah. So how long ago did you write this? How is this?
I've been writing it for about a year, but I've been living it for about 60 years.
I got it. Yeah. So
on the same page.
It finally
that.
Came together because I survived some really heavy duty things in the last 5 years, namely getting out of a 35-year abusive marriage.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. And almost 5 years of severe depression and surviving breast cancer.
Right, and the breast cancer is relatively new.
The breast cancer is, in fact, I'm still recovering from the breast cancer. Right. I'm not completely recovered from that, but I'm working on it.
Well, so that's a wonderful thing that you've taken all this angst that has befallen you and focused your creative energy to create this piece.
I was just about to say that. I was like, what a great way to put that all into another...
Well, thank you. Thank you for saying that. Yes, it's really exciting, and it's a little scary, too, because I've only done comedy. So
right.
Here I'm going to be bearing my soul and talking about some of the most intimate things of my life in a way that I've never done it before. And so plus comedy, plus recovering from cancer. So it's going to be a wild ride.
Well, good. Well, it sounds like a wild ride worth riding. So this piece must take a lot out of you.
Well, it does, actually. Every single time I rehearse it, I get triggered by lots of emotional things. And so it has been kind of a rough journey.
Well, one would assume that it's also got to be there's got to be a healing nature to it as well.
Well, it's extremely healing. In fact, every time I rehearse it, every time I read it, every time I do anything to do with the show, I feel stronger afterwards. And I think that performing it is actually going to be transformational for me.
Not only for you, but I'm going to guess that also transformational for the audience.
Yes,
going to be joining
absolutely,
you.
Absolutely, because everything that I'm doing is completely relatable to everyone's life. It's about how to be a human being in the world.
Are you going to be singing in this at all?
Yes, as a matter of fact. I'm doing all kinds of cute little songs.
We call those CLSs.
Yeah. I'm doing, they're all original songs.
Oh, they're all original,
too? Oh, yeah. Well, I'm a musician and a composer as well as a playwright and director. And so I'm doing a whole bunch of interesting songs, some a cappella, some with music. And I even get to do a song about neurotransmitters, which are those things in your brain that allow you to do everything from getting up in the morning to writing the great American novel. And if you don't have them, you basically can't do anything. And we take it for granted every day that we can do all these things. But if you don't have them in your brain, you can't do squat. There's nothing happening up there.
No.
So I actually get to do kind of a sort of a cabaret, almost like Sexy Lights version of a song about neurotransmitters.
Well, you know, if
which
I had
you
a
don't
nickel.
Want to miss.
I love it.
So I know you brought some people with you. Did you want to bring them in here and talk
yes,
to them?
Yes. Let me get them. They're sitting right here. Come on over here, sweetheart. Okay, this is Mavis Randall, and she is going to be doing her first stand-up comedy act in front of real people instead of just her mirror.
Wonderful, Mavis. And, we're happy to have you here on the show.
Well, thank you, dearie. It's wonderful to be here. You know, I've always thought that if I could just get on the radio, that I would be a huge star. Because I think I have so much charisma. You know what I'm saying? I think I have amazing charisma for the radio. So I'm just so looking forward to being on stage with Reppy. She's been my idol for years, and she finally asked me to be on stage with her, and I just can't believe it. I'm just beyond excited.
So are you nervous about doing your very first stand-up in front of people?
Well, actually, you know, that's a good question.
I'm filled with good questions, Mavis.
Yes, I feel very strong about the material, you see. I really believe that I'm going to kill it. I'm going to absolutely kill it.
I hope you do. I have no doubt that you will. You exude comedic charm.
Oh, honey. You're just saying that. I bet you say that to all the girls.
I say it to most people.
My goodness.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, best of luck on your performance. And who else did you bring with you today?
Okay, just a minute. Let me just make sure. Oh, where did Nancy go? Nancy? Nancy! It's your turn, babe. Come on in. Hello, darlings.
Oh, Nancy. So good to have you here at Offstage and on the Air.
This is Nancy Schwartz.
Hey,
I'm
Nancy.
The host of the number one podcast, Popular Problems. And remember, folks, everybody's got problems. Some are just more popular than others.
What can you give us an example of an unpopular problem?
Well, I specialize in talking about the most popular problems facing us today. And that changes with the times, you see. Some days, some are more popular than others. An unpopular problem probably could be considered things like how to clean out the cat litter when you're not in the mood.
Oh, yeah. That's the story of my life.
That.
Well, we are almost out of time. Reppy, can you tell us when you open?
Well, we're actually opening tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Folks, it's really happening. Tomorrow and three nights only. November 7th, 8th, and 9th at Ground Floor Theater.
Well,
and we're very excited to be in the space, have the most beautiful set designed by Anne-Marie Gordon, award-winning set designer, if I could brag a little bit.
Please.
And I have the most wonderful team, and we're putting on a really wonderful show. And
well, great. Where can folks go to get more information about the show?
Well, you can go to groundfloortheater.org.
Yep.
And also, there's another link that I have here. You want to get specific information about my show, you can go to bit.ly/truth-trauma-show. And that will take you directly to my page, which has all the information about the show.
Great. Well,
Reppy,
awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And I know you'll have a wonderful time there in the next few days.
Thank you.
Performing.
I can't wait.
Awesome. Well, that was Reppy. And her show by the Cobalt Club is called Truth and Trauma, A Love Story. And it is written and performed by Reppy. It plays Ground Floor Theater, the 7th, 8th, and 9th. For more information, groundfloortheater.org/shows. And we will be right back.
You gotta derive to survive. Integrate so you can't feel your thighs. Derive, 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 derive. Gotta show up your wise. Derive, derive.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Hello.
We've done it again. We've spent another hour together.
We have.
What a great show. What fun.
It was a lot of fun.
There was a lot of fun. Remember, like us, do all that stuff. No backstage at Offstage today. Stand by for Austin Monitor News. They are next. And just because I like to blow my own trumpet.
Winner, chicken dinner.
We're going to go out with Raincoat of Love from Fun Home. We'll see you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Today I woke up with a feeling that I did not recognize.